you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show number 15. We are continuing our four-part series on editing tips. This is part three, character editing. This will continue with giving actionable material you can put to work right away. I am Clark Chamberlain, and I am joined today by my sublime co-host, the man from the land of hope and glory, Peter Turley. Peter, how are you doing today?
Well, outstanding after that intro. I'm going to have to come up with one for you next time, because sublime, they're getting the rolling off the tongue. I'm really good. I've just come back from a week's holiday in the south of England, in like the countryside, so that's just been really refreshing and invigorating, probably mostly due to the cold, but yeah, it's been really good to get away for a while.
That's really great. This last week, I've just been finished up with the first draft for my new middle grade book, and so that's just kept me busy because I was on deadline, you know, and so like there were some nights it was like 12,000 words in a day, just banging it all out as fast
How
as
many?
I could. So 12,000. So I did 12,000 one day. It was just all day editing. Mind was numb. But it was all done. I just needed like, but it was tough. Like I needed to switch off. I knew that, but I couldn't. So I'm like just kind of pacing around the house. Like I know I'm supposed to just relax, but there's stuff I got to get done.
But yeah. When did you start that first draft? Because I remember you mentioning it like originally.
It's been about 3 weeks now. So,
wow, yeah, that's impressive.
So, yeah, it was good. It was good to get it all out and done. And it's a fun story. And so I've gotten some great notes back already on it. And moving on to editing it now. So it's been really good, though. It's fun because I get to use the stuff that we've talked about in our podcasts here. And so that makes it really good.
It wouldn't be narcissistic to put us on in the background, would it? And
yeah, just listen to us. You know, like, hey, that's a really good idea. Those guys are amazing.
Good job, Clark. I like that.
Yeah, I like what I said there. So it is good. It's been really good. And it's certainly, you know, the stuff that we've had to learn to do in it more in-depth for the show, it's been really actionable just to take that stuff over and to put it to use. So we've gotten some really good reviews coming back from people that are saying the same thing. I just read one today that was posted on our Scene Sequel episode. It's over there on YouTube right now. And she was saying that she took classes and everything, and no one had laid it out in that way to make that much sense. And so I just felt good, you know, that what we're saying is useful.
And that we're making sense.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's a big one. Time with it.
So today, let's go ahead and get right into this on character editing tips. We've got six of these today, and like always, we want to make sure these are stuff that you can put right to work immediately. So if you're having trouble with your characters in your last draft, these will really help out. To start off, our first one is backstory. So, I mean, backstory is really important. You know, it's good development. Sometimes it's stuff that you just do off paper. Sometimes it comes on paper. But occasionally what ends up happening, where it usually gets bad, is when there's just all this backstory just kind of thrown right at the very beginning of the book, you know, and it's just weighted real heavily to one end. It's because you feel like it's necessary to share this information all at once. So my idea here was, you know, you write down what's necessary. What do people really need to know about the backstory of the character and in their past? And this sounds really kind of silly, but just divide it and then just sprinkle that out throughout the entire manuscript, you know. And so that way it's not weighted onto one side.
Take 100 grams of backstory, uh-huh. Divide and sprinkle.
Yep.
So. Yeah, it's interesting you say... you know, sometimes it can be like front-loaded, at like the front of the book, and you know, a lot of people, whether it's a misuse or not, but use prologues for this specific purpose. And you know, I've been guilty of that myself. I've written a prologue that, you know, when I've looked back at it, it's basically just been a massive info dump of backstory. And just recently I was editing a chapter that was, the entire chapter was basically a character telling his backstory. And it was, I've cut the whole chapter because, you know, 90% of it just wasn't, although it was like maybe interesting, there was no arc to the chapter. There was, you know, no beginning, middle or end. It was, they didn't need to know it. I was writing it for the sake of writing it, really. And I think that that's a really great point to just consider. Do they need to know this? Because a lot of the time we put things in there and it's not necessary to the, you know, every line of dialogue, every bit of prose we write should mean something, and it should be hinting at something or making a promise, not just sort of a character saying like what school they went to if it's completely irrelevant to, you know, to the rest of the story.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it just will help move it along faster. You know, I'm already starting reading through the first draft, the one I just finished up there for the middle grade book. And I do it, you know, I mean, I that's what you do in your first draft, you know, is you throw in all this stuff, and some of it was just stuff that I needed to know, because although I plot, you know, I really do a lot of here's a scene, I'm going to go from here to here to here, and this will get me to the end. I don't do a lot of character development in that point, because I want them to have sort of an organic moving forward, and so it's a lot of it for me is, you know, discovery, but then it gets cut out of the second draft. Because it's just not necessary.
You've kind of fleshed the character out as you've gone along.
Mm-hmm. Or moving the information to different parts. You know, that, it's something that needs to be known, but it would be more exciting if I move it towards the end, you know, because it adds more mystery to the whole element and keeps people turning the page.
And sometimes it's more fun to find something out about a character when we've grown a bond like with that character, and we kind of know who they are, instead of, you know, if we give all a backstory in the first chapter or a prologue, you know, we don't know who the characters are. We've not really built up a solid picture, so it doesn't really mean anything to have a little tidbit of information about the past. Whereas if you sprinkle it around and, you know, put a bit here and a bit there, there can be these little nuggets and trivia or useful to the narrative that are kind of fun to discover.
Yeah, that it is really a fun thing to have happen. You're like, oh, well, you know, this guy's been so tough, and yet he wants to, I don't know, this is real silly, but, you know, like finding out that they do something that's out of character, you know, that they relax by knitting, you know, the tough guy that's taken down all these people all through the story, you know, sits down and knits a nice cap for himself that evening. I don't know. Just
I don't know why I've got an image of you knitting now. Clark trying to tell us something.
It's true. Now, moving on. did you have anything else to add for backstory?
To try and avoid flashbacks as a way of telling backstory, you know, unless it's a heavy sci-fi or it involves time travel, and, you know, it's your way of getting the story across. If you find that you've written one and you've used it to divulge the past, just reconsider, you know, because it's a cliche, and it's probably just serving the purpose of trying to get backstory across. So just flick back and look through it and just decide if you need it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, tip number two is growth. And so, you know, we're talking about having the character grow throughout the story. And this is really important, especially for protagonists, you know, that they've got to have some sort of movement, or it just end up, what's the point of, you know, of having them in there if they're not actually doing something and moving forward. So know what the growth entails and compare it to the story percentage is my point on this, is that you want to take a look at your character and see where they're going. And to, again, we're talking about, you know, it's being weighted one side or the other, and we could also call this pacing, you know, that we want to have a story that's even, you know, that doesn't have the character has all this problem in the first two-thirds of the story and then resolves it in two pages, and then, you know, everything's fine for the last. It's making sure, you know, that you're doing this in a way that seems natural for the development of the character, especially when they're overcoming problems through the book.
Yeah, this is something I have to do quite consciously, because I find that sometimes my characters can come fully formed. And I do have to consciously sort of, you know, do these character cards and think, you know, what's their emotional arc going to be? What is, how are they going to grow, you know? And how does that relate to the plot? So, you know, I think when you're thinking about the growth, you know, you want to talk about the flaws and how that relates to hindering them achieving the plot goals or the story goals. And that's going to be kind of like the seed that the growth kind of sprouts from.
Yeah. You know, and like you were saying, you know, the characters coming preformed, you know, already there. That's usually, for me, like, I've read a few series books where they're, you know, they're not an overarching series, really. You know, they're like that spy novel where the character is the same in every one of them. And it just, you know, by book five, you're like, this is exactly the same story again and again and again. And the repetitive nature of that is just, it just pushes me as a reader away. And so, yeah, like you're saying, you know, you're making sure that there actually is some growth going on there. So,
yeah, for me it was kind of, I mean, I've never really been a massive like James Bond fan, so it was probably more obvious in the novels, but you know, the movies always seemed like that to me, like he was this fully formed, you know, person and this character, and he was the same in every single movie. And it wasn't until I saw Casino Royale and got to see, you know, his past and how he, where he came from, that it made so much more sense, and it was so much more full of a story. And you know, they probably did that in the novels, but it's all to do with this growth. It's all to do with, you know, what the flaws were and how those flaws let them down in the past and how they're gonna grow through it.
Yeah, and you know, when we're talking about flaws and overcoming those flaws, and that's what I was trying to hopefully say there when you're taking a look to make sure that it's not just happening in a moment. And sometimes for us, you know, I think for humans, we don't have those epiphany moments, and you've read those epiphany moments sometimes in books, like all of a sudden now I understand the wickedness of my ways and I'm going to change, you know, that it doesn't happen in that flash moment oftentimes, you know, and it, most of the time it takes a lot of struggle to overcome something. And so you want to make sure that that's done properly, you know, that your percentages are right, so it just feels natural.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the tri-fail cycle in a way. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's not just going to happen first time and, you know, bingo, they woke up and like, oh, that's what I need to do. And then, you know, the next chapter, they've solved it all.
Yeah. And because that just, that's a letdown, you know, that's not delivering on the promise that you've made setting the character up at the beginning of the book. So, anything else for growth?
No, I think, yeah, that's covered it. Just the, you know, the flaws and, you know, going from there, really. And overcoming them.
Perfect. Well, our third editing tip today is engaging. You know, making sure that you have a character who's engaging. And we're talking about, you know, that you take a look at this character and whether they have the emotional weight based on real-world life experiences of the target age audience. Now, this one's really near and dear to my heart right now. Is I've got my class that's out, What Readers Want, and I go into this in great detail in a couple of the lessons, you know, where you're talking about making sure, because this is where you're going to get your most reader engagement right off the bat, is because you have targeted it properly, that the reader connects emotionally with the character. You know, that, because I've mentioned this before, you know, that you, most people besides Peter have not saved the president. Now Peter has, but so he gets that. But most people have.
And that, so, was up there with you on Ethan. The box of secrets.
That's right. I don't mean to reveal all of them yet. We'll sparse those out. But seriously, though, you know, like most people, they don't get that experience. But an emotional experience, you know, and it's really silly, you know, that as people, we kind of go through the same thing depending on our life experiences that we've had, you know. So a person who's been married may have these types of experiences, you know. A child who's gone through school maybe has been bullied, you know, and so you've got these types of things to draw on so you can make an emotional engagement between the protagonist and the reader. And so making sure that you've got some emotional weight there, that something underlined, that, that it's not just this plot-driven thing in your book, you know, that you're really engaging emotionally with the character, and so that you have a couple of these that would actually target your reader that you're trying to get a hold of.
Yeah, that's some great advice. It's, I think we touched on it once before, where it's identifying your ideal reader, and it allows you to come up with these issues that are going to be, these topics that are going to be relatable, and thus engaging. And I think this is where it kind of, you know, we've all heard the phrase, write what you know, but this is where it's like really important to just, you know, draw on your own experience and draw on life and really go down as deep as you can and, you know, really get into this stuff and be visceral with it and, you know, tell the truth. That's what we're trying to do as writers, isn't it? We're trying to, you know, uncover the truth like one word at a time, or the truth just of the human experience. And, you know, we've got all these experiences, you know, in us and around us, and, you know, this is the time to use them, you know, when we're considering this ideal reader and what's gonna touch them the most.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at some books that have just really exploded, and you know, there's some that I call lottery winners, you know, your J.K. Rowling's, that 50 Shades of Grey, that, you know, those are lottery winner books, you know, that have just gotten, that aren't just about what's in the book, but because of how the public is engaged with it. The Twilight series is another one. But even those ones, you know, you take a look at what that core was at the beginning, and, you know, that they have that type of emotion that's in there, because the world doesn't need another vampire story. It's not the vampire story that pulls people in. It's the emotions that are inside it, you know, that connect with the people. And the story can be ridiculous, but if the emotional depth is there and it's real, then that's really going to suck them into it, and they just can't let it down, because, you know, you read those reviews, like, I can't believe, you know, I just really connect with this character, you know, and that's what you want to have, you know, that connection that's there.
Yeah, I mean, we won't go into 50 Shades of Grey. But, yeah, I mean, you know, who, like, with the Harry Potter, like you say, it's not just about, you know, wizards and broomsticks and, you know, it starts off with a little, you know, underappreciated boy living under the stairs who just wants to escape, and, you know, who's never felt that lonely before. You know, we can all relate to that, and,
yeah,
you know, that's where the connection's made. The connection's not made in, you know, the wizarding battles, although that's the fanciful stuff that is just really awesome later on.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, that's a fun part of the world, and you got to have a world that has that kind of excitement in it. But yeah, it's the first point, you know, is bringing them into it through an emotional connection, so that they can feel like they're part of the story. So,
yeah.
Again, I assume that you went to a wizarding school, Peter, so you connect.
Yeah, I sort of. Well, it was a wizarding night school during my. My president saving training. So yeah, that was a heavy 3 weeks.
Yeah. let's move on. Number four, character description, and I have always had a hard time with this. You know, it's like trying to figure out that spot that you put in the character description. So these were some ideas that I had. Is you don't end up giving a laundry list, especially when you first introduce them, and appropriate hints. So this was an idea, you know, and you put it into a sentence. So the rugged pack frame seemed out of place on her peach skin. She tossed him a green-eyed glance that said everything but yes. So, like, just throwing in just very minimal little hints at character description into a line. You know, that just kind of seems a little bit more natural, instead of he had brown hair that fit well against his green eyes, and the hair cascaded against his chiseled features, and, you know, and those types of things, where you've got this huge laundry list.
His skin sparkled in the sunlight.
What's that?
His skin sparkled in the sunlight.
Yes. So. because I think this is one of the things I have a tough time with. You know, do you have a difficult time doing character description?
Yeah, I mean, because it comes back to sort of what we said earlier about that. You know, some of the time we're figuring this stuff out for ourselves, especially in the first draft, and you know we're kind of writing this down for ourselves as well, and we're painting a picture of the character for us in that first draft. And you can look back and you do see it, like, you know, he's this tall, his eyes are this color, comparing them to the people, and you're trying to create this really descriptive character when more often than not you only need, you know, a couple of pointers, and then that kind of, you know, you leave the reader to put the pieces together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if there was something really important, like you're talking about a scar or you know, some type of tattoo or something, you know, that has significance with the story, you know, would definitely bring that out. So this was something that that my editor, she caught when we were doing one of the edits, where I changed the color of someone's hair in the book, because I just had kind of forgotten, you know, what I had said much earlier on, you know, and then threw in a line later, and the hair color was different. And so other people are going to certainly catch that stuff, even if you don't.
That was a good catch by the editor.
Oh, it was, you know, because it's definitely, you know, you want to make sure that you keep things consistent. So,
but I think this is it's a good place to sort of use these, you know, these, as Brandon Sanderson calls them, heavy lifting sentences, where you can tell a lot about the character other than just the way they look. So, you know, I've got one particular character, and he's a trader, and, you know, he's only an apprentice, but he sort of sees himself as, like, you know, he's going to be successful, and, you know, he cares a lot about how he looks and his image, and, you know, he wears these sort of, like, white shirts, and he's always, like, straightening them down and pulling out the creases because it's important to do with the way he looks. So, you know, you can slip in sort of, like, what they're wearing or, you know, how they're standing, but you're also telling something about the character as well.
Yeah, you know, and those are great. You know, the heavy lifting sentences, you know, that you're just bringing it all together in a very natural way, the most natural way possible. So,
yeah, and I think we don't have to open with these. You know, we introduce a new character, we don't have to immediately say, you know, what they look like. You know, you can sort of just give one little thing, and then it doesn't all have to come out straight away. Mm-hmm. We're kind of worried that the reader's going to have, like, this big question mark in the head when if we don't suddenly describe the character, but it doesn't have to work like that.
No, because the reader's smart enough to put an image together in their head. And so unless it was something that, like, is really important with the story, you can leave them as blank as you need to. I'm thinking Harry Potter again, you know, that Snape's hook nose, and like that's something, I don't know, that seems to be important, you know, that's brought out right away, because it gives a very kind of sinister look to the character that you can picture in your mind. So if it's important for the story, you know, you bring it out right away. If it's not, you know, feed it in over time.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. If this is going to be a strong character, you know, you might want to mention that, you know, the first thing that your point of view character noticed was, like, the size of the hands. You know, they're like, whoa, you're like the, you know, the guy struggled to get through the door, you know, because he was that wide, and, you know, it can say a lot about, you know, that character, but also how the other characters are perceiving them, and, you know, that's the way to put it in, and, you know. Instead of, as you say, this laundry list, which, you know, we're all guilty of.
Oh, yeah. Especially in the first draft. You know, you're just tossing everything out on them. So you can get a clearer picture, I guess. So. But moving along, tip number five, consistency. So we want to make sure, and this goes back to what my editor, you know, found out with the color of the hair, you know, that you're consistent all the way through. You know, that we talked about logicals before. Have you explained them with the character? And if we take the whole wide macro view of the entire book, is the character being the same throughout the scenes and the chapters? Is it making sense? You know, So if you've built a particular character, let's say, you know, that we've got a science fiction book where we've got a captain on a ship, and so this captain acts a particular way, and then all of a sudden does something that's completely and totally against everything that they've done up until that point, did you explain it in a way that makes sense to why the character turned, or do you need to go back through and rewrite a whole bunch of stuff so that particular scene makes sense? Because you want to make sure that all this is logically progressing forward.
Like if a secondary character walks in and catches him knitting or something.
So for instance, like I had to go back through on another day, another name, and change a few things around to make sure that the people understood why my character Mabel was going forward and having a relationship. Because, you know, she'd been so focused on, like, keeping everybody and everything at arm's length because she's a spy. You know, why did she go ahead and open up at this point in her life? So I had to add those things in to make sure that that when that time came to have that happen, that it made sense for the audience reading it.
Yeah, it's all about making sense and that, yeah, that the characters are making choices that are sort of in line with... in the story and in their lives.
Yeah. You froze there just for a second, but we heard making choices with the stories in their lives. Did you have anything else in the middle there?
Just these choices are in line with the growth of the character and like the emotional arc. So that, you know, they're only making choices when they've reached, you know, this specific stage in their own growth.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that they can actually, that the choice makes sense. Because that's really important. We've talked a lot about that. You know, that the character needs to be making the choices that help move the story forward. And yes, we're consistent with them, that it makes sense for the reader so that they don't get popped out of the story at some point being like, what in the world's going on now? Which is what most people do when they, you know, when they see me in my life, but you know, just in that's not real. You know?
So, yeah, because I mean, sort of, you know, you say Mabel and decided to have a relationship. Like, would you have done that at the beginning of the book? Like, was it later in the book that like this happened?
Yeah, it's later in the book that it happens. You know, and so it just had to be spelled out clearly, you know, that it makes sense that the person at the beginning of the book has made a change and the reasons why they changed. You know, it's important, you know, that you're setting it up the right way so that it doesn't just feel like you're moving it along because the plot needed to go this direction, that you're doing it because, oh yeah, you know what, I need her to have a relationship now, so now she's in a relationship. So just want to make sure that it's clear that it's not just some plot element that you're doing it for.
Yeah, because that'll be spotted a mile off, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. As soon as a writer just, you know, does something for a plot device, it rings bells.
Yeah, it really does. So our last one today, tip number 6, is point of view. And, of course, maintaining the point of view properly throughout your entire story. And so one of the ways that I would do this, you know, is taking a look, and this is where you can bring cards into play, you know, that you've got each of the scenes and chapters broken out onto cards to make sure that you know who that scene's point of view is supposed to be from, that chapter's point of view is supposed to be from, and that you can read through it and make sure that you're consistent throughout the chapter.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it. But just, you know, just that this does come under character editing, and if you're going through and you're doing a specific character edit, that, you know, that is something that comes under this umbrella, that, you know, whatever you're saying about another character, so say you're doing a physical description of someone, you know, that's still probably, depending on which viewpoint you're doing, but, you know, that might just be coming through one character's point of view, so you can only really give it if, say, your main character can see that person. You know, don't describe someone in the next room. You know, I know that sounds obvious, but that's just like a simple example. But, you know, this, or if someone walks into a room while your main character's sleeping and everything's coming through their lens, then, you know, you can't really go into the nitty gritty of what that character looks like yet.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, of course, you know that you're with one particular character's point of view, and having her describe herself, you know, just like.
You know. Yes, we nearly didn't mention that. The biggest one. like the cliche of looking in the mirror.
Yes, looking in the mirror to describe yourself, you know, and because you know you don't do that. Like it doesn't ring true at all. And you know we're telling true fake stories here, and they gotta feel real to people when they're reading them. And that's one of the things that you just, and also cliche, you know, like it's just been done so many times. You've got to pull yourself out of using that. I think we've definitely mentioned it before on other shows with point of view. But one of the things, you know, if you are switching points of view, one of the easiest ways to do it is to make sure that you've identified the character's name and that you've identified a feeling that they're having. And that's an easy tell for the reader that they've switched a point of view. You know? So...
Yeah. So yeah, start having that name sort of at the beginning of the paragraph, and I think kind of if you can, you know, trying to keep a distinct tone to like particular points of view and particular characters, you know, if you can, and this is only going to come with practice, but you might find that I know that when I write about, I have a sort of like a secondary plot line. Run alongside the main plot line. Whenever I flick back to this other character, because he's so different to anyone else in the book, it's as if like my whole writing style changes when I'm when I'm writing about this specific character. And I think if you can do that, you know, that's a really good indicator as well that that you know the reader's changed point of view.
Yeah, no, it's a really good way to do it. So we are running out of time for today. Did you have anything else to add to wrap us up for? The editing tips on characters?
No, I think we covered everything though.
Oh, good. So I think so too. It's been a good show. Peter, as always, thank you so much for being here today. I really always enjoy your company. It's great talking with you.
It's been sublime.
And for our listeners out there, thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us a review at iTunes. And if you're an editor who would like to be a guest on the show or an author who'd like us to edit your work live on air, go to thebookeditorshow.com and drop us a line. Keep learning, keep writing, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.